We're to meet now an Australian woman who's thrived by stepping outside her trained comfort zone, agricultural economics, into a new career leading sustainability in big buildings. Romilly Madure's efforts over the last 10 years have just been acknowledged with a big international award from the World Green Building Council for prompting change in buildings, communities and cities in various countries. Now, all this applause happens against a backdrop of the biggest climate change talks of the year wrapping up in Bonn, with clear evidence about the gaps between ideal goals and current experience. But as discussed in Bonn, buildings account for a big share of greenhouse emissions. It's not all about electricity and energy use, as our huge debate might suggest. In Australia, commercial and residential buildings contribute 23% of our total emissions. Globally, it's 40%. So, how should we describe the adaptation record of our big building sector? This has been Romilly Madure's focus at various levels as CEO of the Green Building Council. She knows the industry well, where it's travelled, where it still has to go. She describes it as a niche to normal philosophy that's emerging. And welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And congratulations on the award.
Thank you. I was thrilled and it was a big surprise.
Well, congratulations again. Look, what's this niche to normal phrase that you use?
So the niche to normal is, for us in Australia, it possibly was a niche after the Olympics. Many people in Australia would remember that we had won the Olympics off the back of being at the Green Olympics. And Green Building Council of Australia was established from that in 2002. And so it really was a niche. And energy efficiency at the time was a really new thing in those days. It really is now the norm.
And there was no real business model for it.
Well, there was no new business model. I wrote the business case in Green Buildings, which we released in 2006. And at the time when I wrote it, most of the research was based on international research. We had nothing in Australia. No research could be based on anything in Australia. Whereas now we're overwhelmed with the material that we have here. And when you base what happens in Australia to overseas, we're the third leading country when it comes to certified buildings.
So who's the leading, by the way?
America, and the second leading in certified buildings is Canada. Mm-hmm. But Australia is the third leading country. But globally, when it comes to based on the Global Real Estate Sustainability Benchmark, Australia is leading when it comes to GRESB. So that's a... GRESB is the Global Real Estate Sustainability Benchmark, and investors use that globally. So when you think of all our commercial buildings around Australia, and everyone goes to work around our office buildings around and our shopping centres around Australia every day, so 1.3 million people visit a Green Star building every day. When you walk into an office in Australia, most of those buildings now are rated to Green Star, which is...
Now, these are certified as opposed to non-certified. So what's the distinction there?
So what the distinction is, going back to 2000, you couldn't tell whether a building was green or not green. And then what happened is everything started changing and people wanted to say, well, my building's green. So how did you know it was green? And that's the really interesting thing, is they needed transparency. Because people could say, well, it was green. And it was like when you go and buy a box of biscuits. How do I know the calories in there? How do I know the salt content? How do I know the sugar content? And that's where things like, you know, the Heart Foundation tick came about. We created Green Star because the industry wanted a transparent measure of environmental sustainability.
And what does it entail, getting that Green Star?
And that's exactly why the Green Building Council was created, by government and industry. So we look at energy, water, emissions, indoor environment quality, so the materials that are used. We look at transport, we look at the management of a building, and we also look at the innovation that went in there. So today we would look at gender equality, whether you've got a reconciliation action plan. So we go well beyond environmental and we look at sustainability. Have you got, you know, done an Indigenous skills training? Have you
Goodness
looked...
Goodness me, that's a heck of a long way from energy use.
Exactly. So we've gone very much from environmental.
But why?
Because sustainability is environmental, social and governance.
Now, I can hear listeners saying, I'm sceptical about this. Is this real? And what proportion have signed up to this?
So it is real, and this is what investors and stakeholders and the community are demanding of both offices and the shopping centres and our listed property trust, not only here in Australia but globally. So in Australia, 36% of our office buildings are certified to Green Star. So that's over 15 years. That's an amazing feat.
So for the ones that aren't, and it was explained to me once, a lot of your buildings in that are sort of the staples in cities around Australia and in smaller country hubs, they haven't even begun this process. Like, it's actually the big builders and the big new gorgeous looking developments, as it were, they've taken it on. But really, if we want to hit these emissions targets, we've got to go to that next group, haven't we?
We do. And that next group is called the mid-tier section. So that's not the premium and the A grade, it's the mid-tier. And that's where it's really important that government come in. So both our local government, our state governments and our federal governments come in and really work closely with the mid-tier section and work with them through incentives and regulation and working collaboratively.
You mean subsidy? Do you mean
subsidies and education? Education is the best form of working with that section and sector of the industry to help them.
Even for instance, the business of changing lights all through, so you've actually got better light use. Now, they won't have the money to do that sort of thing.
That's exactly right. So there's been some great programs around Australia, both at the national level and at the state level, on subsidies like green building programs that can help them upgrade their buildings purely through both light fittings, water fittings, because it's not just about, you know, energy use, it's also about water use. You know, we're the driest continent in the world. Because if you think about it, water use is also energy efficiency as well, because the more you've got to power water through a building, you're using energy. It's also through the glass we use in our buildings. If we use triple glazed glass, we're using less energy in the building because we're using less air conditioning in the building. We just need to design our buildings passively, the normal way of cross-flow ventilation, good lighting. Mm-hmm. The normal ways that we used to design buildings in the old days is a great way of designing buildings for today. It doesn't need to be over complicated to get great environmental outcomes. So it doesn't have to be costly, is what I'm trying to say.
So if somebody's listening and they want to check their own, say the school that their kids attend and their shopping centre, where do they look to find out whether it's got these accreditation?
Most of the major shopping centres now are certified to Green Star. So Vicinity, for instance, all their shopping centres, their 96 shopping centres have been certified to Green Star, Stockland, Lendlease, Mervac, all the majors are certified. So they can look on the Green Building Council website or even ask the shopping centre themselves.
And new apartment developments?
All the majors have been certified. And if they're not certified to Green Star, they're certified to others. So either NABERS, which is a Australian government certification, or the residential rating. So state governments have their own homes ratings or residential ratings, or there's a national rating scheme called NATERS.
And yet I understand the main problem here in Australia is that the bulk of our building stock only has to meet, in a way, very minimal standards of the National Construction Code, which has been described to us as very, very basic and outdated, for instance, on energy requirements. Now, I think you're also involved in you're on a group that's rethinking this, aren't you?
Take issue with that. I think one of the things that makes Australia lead when it comes to this global standard called GRESB is the fact that Australia does have a national construction code under the Australian Building Codes Board. Not many countries have a national construction code. And the reason that's really important is that it means that we're coordinated across Australia. So even though ours may be behind when it comes to what's happening in Europe, we are working as an industry and government to make sure that ours comes up to par with what's happening in Europe.
So that's under revision right now.
So it is under revision right now. And we as an industry have raised money to do the research to increase the national construction code. And I'm not sure there's many other countries where industry and government have worked so collaboratively to do that. So that's the non-residential. Residential in Australia, there is scope to move and increase energy efficiency in residential. And I would say compared to other countries like in Europe, our energy efficiency in residential could be lifted. Mm. When you consider in Europe,
Try persuading a builder to do that for you, I can tell you.
and I think where we have the challenge is affordability and sustainability. sustainability. And the issue in Australia is that, you know, there's that thing of, oh, it's going to cost too much if we look at energy efficiency. My argument would be you lock in, you know, really bad issues when you don't build in sustainability into homes right now, because they will not be able to afford them in the future.
Well, they
don't.
May say they can't afford it now, of course, because what you are describing, I mean, some of this innovation is just marvellous. I saw sort of some very interesting new glue lamb wood innovation being used on big new buildings, for instance, down at Barangaroo.
International House. It's a fantastic timber building.
But that's expensive, isn't it?
But that's an office building, and that's a fantastic building, and it's a great innovative building. But I have seen some fantastic nine-star Nat-Her houses in Stockland and Fraser's master plan communities. And these are really affordable homes. And so I think we're going to have to become cleverer as an industry around working together to build affordable and sustainable homes.
Look, final question. Say within the next 5 years, what sort of cuts realistically could the sector in Australia achieve in terms of energy reduction and carbon emissions? What do you think's realistic?
So we think as an industry we can be incredibly bold in Australia. We've worked with the Australian Sustainable Built Environment Council, which is an umbrella group of all the industry associations and government in Australia. And we think we can be net zero by 2030 for new buildings and net zero by 2050 for existing buildings. And so that really is just by looking at emissions.
So that means in reality that what they generate, all that they need themselves inside
and
the building.
And then what they don't, they either use solar or they do offsets. Right. And so we think in Australia we're quite sophisticated in what we can do, especially with complementary organisations like the Clean Energy Finance Corporation. We believe in Australia that we're sophisticated enough as an industry to be able to do that.
So that 23% figure that I quoted in the intro, that it contributes 23% of our
We believe
total emissions.
We can drop that.
Drop that to what? 10?
Well, we're hopeful. The issue we have in Australia and the challenge we have is our population is growing, as we've seen, and our cities and communities are growing. So we're hopeful that you've got to remember we're finding the balance of our cities and population are growing. We don't want that 23% to grow. So we want the 23% to fall but not to grow. So it's finding that balance of it can't grow, but it's got to continue to fall.
Well, Romilly Madieu, keep going. Thank you very much indeed for your time.
Thank you very much.
Romilly's the Chief Executive Officer of the Green Building Council of Australia, and that award was the World Green Building Council Chairman's Award for her work to advance sustainable building globally.